This CD is dedicated by the Tepper family in memory of Dr. Abe Shames, whose sudden passing has saddened all of those who've been privileged to be touched by his life. May the Torah that we learn and the mitzvahs that we do be a schus for Avraham Zev Ben Yaakov, Alav Shalom, knowing that his neshama will be a melitz yosher, a pleader up above for the well-being of his family, friends, and Klal Yisroel.
Welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir, and we are continuing and hopefully completing tonight Shar Habusha, the Gate of Shame, and we are on Daf Mem Beis on the bottom, and we are going to be discussing the final aspect of shame, and that is shame towards others, embarrassing, God forbid, embarrassing others. So on the bottom of the page, V'yizoy Meod, a person needs to be very careful, Shlo Yevayesh Shum Adam, not to embarrass any human being. Ki Amru Chachamim, because the Chachamim have said, Hamalim Espanei Chaver Barabim, someone who ashames someone else publicly, Ein Lo Chelek Lo Olam Haba, loses his portion in the world to come. This is a Gemara Baba Metzia. And he goes into some of the details of what it means, Hamalbim Bnei Chaver, because if you look at the word Malbim, you see the word Lavan in there. Lavan is white. If you cause a person to turn white, you lose your chelik and olam haba. So the Archos Adikim explains, Avak haritzicha hi halvanas panim. A subtle form of murder is causing a person's face to turn white. Why is that? Ki ozel sumaka va'ase chivra. Because the redness of his face leaves, and it turns white when that happens. V'domer liritzicha, and this is tantamount to ritzicha, which is murder. Now, I just want to explain, the Medrash Shmuel explains what this means. The nefesh of a person really has two tenuos, two movements. When a person becomes ashamed, it causes anger, which is the redness on the face, because of the anger of the shame. And when he cannot find a way to remove the shame, in other words, he's stuck in it, he can't dig a hole, sort of, and jump into it, then he has terrible tsar. When he has tsar, what happens is it causes the redness, the blood, to leave his face, and that's why it turns white. So there's two levels of embarrassing a person. If you sort of embarrass a person and he turns red, that's also terrible. But that's not a murder. That's not losing the chelik olam haba. But if a person embarrasses someone else to the degree that not only does he turn red, but he turns white, then that means the blood has left, and that is like murder. V'chein amru, chachamim, and the chachamim have said, V'od, tsar ha'avana mar mimaves. The pain of humiliation is worse than death. That maybe we'd be spared not to be able to experience either one of them. Al-Kain Amru, therefore the Chachamim said, based upon that I guess theory, that humiliation is worse than death. Yapil Adam es asma l'toch kifshan ha'esh. It is better for a person to throw himself into the furnace of fire. V'al yalbim p'nei chaver barabim. Rather than to embarrass someone else publicly, because the pain that you're going to suffer by jumping into the kifshan ha'esh, into the furnace of fire, which is going to be death, is going to be not as bad as the pain that's caused by the person who you may embarrass. Now, of course, the famous case, as we're going to see in a moment, is Yehuda, but I just want to tell you a story that I heard. I don't know who it was with, I forget who it was with, but it seemed that there was a city in Europe years ago where the system during the cold months was that the gabbai, or the shamus, would come early in the morning before anyone got there to light the fire in the oven, in the furnace, called, so that when the people came to Minyan, it would be warm in the shul. This is the days before it was electric heat, of course, gas heat. And what happened was that one day, it seemed that the Rav of the shul had to do some serious research on a shiloh that he was asked, and he ended up staying all night in the shul. But the heat wasn't on. He didn't want to use the shul's heat for his own personal benefit. So it was cold, but he stayed anyway. Came early in the morning. He figured, you know what? I'll save the shamus a job. I'll light the furnace. So he opens up the furnace door and he sticks his head in there and he's lighting the fire and stoking the coals and the wood. Meanwhile, somebody else, another mispalel, one of the balabatim, had come in and figured, hey, I'll play a practical joke with the shamus, thinking it was the shamus. And he figured the guy is, you know, his head and body are in the oven, and his rear end is sticking out. So he figured, hey, give him a kick in the pants and run away. He won't know who did it. So that's what he does. He kicks the guy in the pants, and he runs off. It was the Rav, and the Rav realized that if he would take his head out of there, and the guy would see, oh, gewalt geschringen, and I kicked the Rav, the guy would die of shame, of embarrassment. So the Rav kept his head in the oven, in the furnace there, until he heard the door slam that the guy was gone. And because of the heat of the oven, based upon this, that he figured it's better to have yourself thrown into a furnace, the Rav knew this, his beard was completely burnt off from the heat. Luckily his life was okay, came out with his life, but he risked his life and he lost his beard. So in order not to embarrass the person who kicked him. Let's continue. V'lamdu, the second line from the top, v'lamdu mitamar. And this is learned from the Maisa of Tamar, afal pisho tziyuli sarif, even though after the incident with Tamar and Yehuda, she was being taken out to be burnt at the stake. Lo ratzas alahal ben pnei Yehuda, she did not want to embarrass Yehuda by saying that it was he who impregnated me. So instead, she used a different language. She said the one that belongs to these items, and she picked up the items, so on and so forth. So you see that she was willing to give up her life rather than to embarrass you. Okay, va'afilu bimokom bimkom tochacha amra Torah. Even if one has to reprimand someone else, the Torah says, ochiach tochiach es amisecha, you should certainly reprimand your fellow person, your fellow Jew, velosisa alav chait. But don't carry with it a sin. In other words, If by reprimanding, or the manner in which you reprimand is going to cause you to sin, means embarrassing him, then don't do it. That's the end of the pasuk means. Reprimand the other person if it has to be done. However, lo sisa lav chet, in the process of reprimanding him, don't get yourself a sin by embarrassing the person. Now this has to be explained to some degree anyway. It's a mitzvah to reprimand a person. The Gemara says, if the reprimand is going to help. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, there's a mitzvah if it's going to help and it's going to be accepted to reprimand the person. At the same time, the Gemara says, it's a mitzvah not to reprimand if it won't be accepted. So if he's not going to listen, you know the situation is the Gemara, and Yevamos, that explains it. Now, there are a few things that I just want to run by you, and that is, notice obviously there's a second extra word here, hocheach tochiach. The Torah doesn't waste words. So why is the double language, you should surely reprimand? So Rav Simcha Zisel of Kelm, one of the great students of the Alta Slabodka, says that the Torah is teaching us a lesson here. If you have to reprimand and rebuke someone, break it up. Don't give it to them all at once. Don't rant and rage, you know what I mean? Hocheach, tochiach, a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, 3 weeks from now, a month from now. But if you're going to bombard a person with everything that he's doing wrong, or she's doing wrong, mitamol, all at once, then it's not going to accomplish the goal. And that's the point of the pasuk, of the extra word. Now, there's also a beautiful Sephorno. I wish I had the Sephorno in front of me. The Sephorno says, when Hashem, a few weeks ago when we were laning the Maisa the Mabel, when Hashem, after destroying the world with the flood, he showed Noach a rainbow. And the rainbow was a siman, a sign that in the future, if the Jewish people are going, the generation is going to be deserving of being punished by being destroyed, I will not destroy them with water because I'm making a covenant with you, and that is the sign of the covenant. In the Sephorno, one of the Mefarshim on the spot says that the Chachamim of the generation, when they see the rainbow, they have to use that as a symbol to themselves, being the leaders of the generation, to reprimand the people. Because they're sinning, obviously, and that's why there is a rainbow. That means Hashem wants to destroy us, but He can't destroy it because He made a covenant not to destroy us. Now, I ask you a question. If you were putting a symbol in the heavens that the Jewish people are so bad, they're misbehaving to such a degree that they deserve to be destroyed, it's just that I can't do it because I made a covenant with you. If it was me, you know what I would do? I would make a picture up there of a dagger, a pitchfork, and a devil, you know, something like that, like, hey, be careful. What does Hashem do? He's reprimanding us. That's what the rainbow is, reprimanding us. But He does it in a beautiful fashion, a nice, colorful rainbow. And it's so beautiful to look at. It's nice colors. That is the reprimand. The point is beautiful. The point is obvious. When you have to reprimand someone, and sometimes it's necessary, do it with a smile. Don't do it with a dagger. Don't do it with a pitchfork. In fact, did you ever notice what, you know why a rainbow is called a rainbow? A rainbow is shaped like the bow of a bow and arrow. Right. That's the same shape. But notice the rainbow, what direction the semicircle is in. The semicircle is so that if there were an arrow there, the arrow would be pointed upward. If I were God, I would say, if I'm reprimanding the Jews, make the archway the other way so the arrow is pointing downward, as if pointing to us that we're in trouble. No. Hashem doesn't do it in that manner. That's not the way you reprimand someone. Even the shape of the rainbow is so that the arrow is facing upward, so you don't look at it in chapa pachat. While on this issue, by the way, I just want to mention a halacha that we may have mentioned around this table years ago, and that is, although we have an urge to, when we see a rainbow out there, to show everybody and call everyone to everyone's attention, hey, look how beautiful, you're not supposed to do it, the Mishnah Berurah paskens, you're not do it because of Shara Lashon Hara, because basically you're saying Lashon Hara on the rest of the Jewish people that they're not misbehaving, and that's why there's a rainbow out there. So you're supposed to look at the rainbow, they're misbehaving, and that's why there's a rainbow. That's the simon that should have been destroyed. So it's basically saying Lashon Hara if you point a rainbow out. You're supposed to look at it, see it, and say the bracha zocha abris v'nem abris of a kind. You say the bracha on your own, but that's it. You're not supposed to show it to someone else, which is a common practice. Continue five lines down. So now the Archos Tzadikim is going to instruct us how one should reprimand someone else. The first step is to do it. That means in privacy. God forbid, not in front of anyone else. It should be calmly. If a person reprimands someone else publicly and embarrasses him, then he will incur a sin. You know, I attended a session years ago for Mechanchim, given by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And he said something amazing at that session. He was talking about embarrassing students, a teacher embarrassing students, and I guess the same thing would apply for a parent to a child. He says, we say in the davening, it's a pasuk tehillim, al tigu bimshichoi. We say it in Hodu. Al tigu, don't mess with my anointed one, with my Mashiach. Says the Gemara, who is the my Mashiach? Elu tinokel shabais rabban. We're talking about children learning in school. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said to us, imagine, one day, it'll come, Mashiach is going to arrive. And we're going to be watching from the crowds, and on stage, Mashiach is there, and you're going to look at the person up there, Mashiach, and say, wait a second, I recognize that face. Yeah, I had him back in 6th grade, and 5th grade, and 8th grade, and 5th grade. Imagine the feeling that you're going to have if you embarrassed him when he was in your class. Imagine, here he is the Mashiach now. On the other hand, imagine the joy, the jubilance, if you treated him nicely and you never, when you had to reprimand him, you did it in a proper way. And then he sees you and you see him and he recognizes you and he calls you up to stage. Ah, here is my Rebbe, my 7th grade Rebbe, my 8th grade Rebbe, and he was so considerate how he reprimanded. Imagine the feeling. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky ended, he said, when you walk into a classroom, you have to look at the faces of the students sitting in front of you and say to yourself, any one of these could be the Mashiach. Be very careful how you treat them. In fact, another incident, I actually spoke to Rabbi Reisman, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman from Brooklyn about this, that he was asked to speak at a major conference in New York City for teachers. And on his way to the conference, he stopped by his Rebbe, Rav Palm, from Tor V'Da'a, Zichrono Livracha, and he said, what's the message I should give these mechanchim? There are going to be over 1,000 mechanchim educators there. What's the message? And he's figuring, who knows, going to have some deep secrets. And Rav Palm said to him, just convey one message to the Rebbeim, to the teachers. Don't embarrass students. That was the message. Be very careful not to embarrass students. You know, there's a ma'isa. Years ago, of course, this must go back over 100 years ago. Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, called for a meeting in his town to see to it that something be done about unsupervised shechita. It seems that shechita was being done in town and it wasn't supervised. And a meeting was called to see how we could, fix the situation. And this was, I don't know what city it was, where Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik was there. And they get together and you have all these lay leaders and balabatim. Mitamol, who shows up? One of the shochtim. One of the shochtim in town shows up at the meeting. So the balabatim look, oy gavalt. They can't really express their feelings the way they want to because one of the shochtim, who they are there to quote-unquote bash, is there. So they went over to the shochet and invited him out. The balabatim invited him out. So the shochet said, this is the house of Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. If the balabas asks me to leave, I will leave. If not, I'm staying. And they tried it again. They went over with 10 people, 15 people, and he repeated the same thing. So finally, they went to Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. And they said, look who's here. What are we going to... Rabbi Yitzchak Soloveitchik did not respond to them. He didn't go over to the shochet, didn't invite them out. After the meeting, and after they had accomplished their goal with the shochet there, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik said to the crowd, after the shochet had left, he said, I guarantee you that if I would have kicked them out of my house, this would have been a public embarrassment and shame, we would never have accomplished the goal that we did tonight. Which was to see to it that the shechita in town was done in a supervised manner and the shechita was, okayed for the future. So you see this issue of embarrassing people. So let's continue. Mikol shkein, hamavayish chaver of shalobim kom tochacha. Certainly, if you embarrass a person, and it's not for the sake of reprimand, ki churban Yerushalayim nisgalgal ayidei boshes to bar kamsa, because the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because the ma'isa bar kamsa that he was kicked out of the party, publicly embarrassed, went to the czar, and so on and so forth, was led to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. You know, the question is being asked. When can you embarrass, especially a Rebbe to a student, if he's acting out? I asked my Rosh Hashiva Zatzal about this. And he responded to the following matter. He said earlier in the Orchos Adikim, in one of the other Shorim, the Shara Anova, I believe it is, it says there that you have to try to do it as nicely as possible, and if nothing else helps, then you have a right to publicly embarrass the person. So that my Rosh Hashiva said to me, what did the Orach HaTzaddikim mean that nothing helps? That means you put your arm around the child's shoulder, you invited him for Shabbos to your house, you took him out for pizza, you took him for a walk, you bought him ice cream. then, if nothing else helps you, mamish, you spend who knows how many months and sleepless nights trying to figure out a way to control this boy into behaving properly. Then, if it doesn't work, he said, show me a Rebbe. Show me a teacher who's gone the extra miles, not mile, but miles, to figure out a way to reprimand the child without doing it. So I don't know, the Mises told about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think, I don't know, some people say it about Rapam himself, that he was a Rebbe in a classroom and a boy was cheating on a test. And he went over to him, I don't know if it was Rabbi Yaakov or Rapam, went over to the boy privately, whispered into the boy's ear, and he saw the boy cheating. He whispered in the boy's ear and said, I see you're having trouble understanding the questions, let me explain them to you. So, you understand, he accomplished his goal. He got the message, the boy got the message, subtly, that obviously I'm being watched, but he did it in such a beautiful manner, he didn't accuse the boy of telling him he's stealing, he's cheating. I see you don't understand the questions, you're having trouble. So, you have to figure out a way, but to find, the impression I got from my Roshiva was, it's almost practically impossible to have a heter, to embarrass a student publicly. And so, listen, we can go on forever about doing these things, throwing students out of the class. I don't know, as far as I understand, what do you throw out of your house? Garbage. You throw garbage. That's the only thing that we throw out of our house is garbage. Basically, when you're throwing a child out of the classroom, basically you're conveying a message to the child, you are garbage. Because what else gets thrown out? So, I know they're going to tell me, but it's uncontrolled. But, well, do your research, do your homework. The Rebbe, the teacher has to do their homework. I'm not saying that there aren't challenging moments and some very serious difficulties and maybe a psychologist has to be brought in and all these kinds. Fine, no problem. But there's no excuse to publicly embarrass the child. Okay, let's go on further. Lachain, even you bring up the issue of a rav to a community. There's a mice with the Chofetz Chaim, that a rav of a neighboring town came to the Chofetz Chaim with a complaint. He says, I don't know what to do with my balabatim. They're not behaving properly, and I spoke from the pulpit about it, and not only didn't it improve, it got worse. So the next Shabbos, the second Shabbos I got there, and boy, did I give it to them. And guess what? It got even worse. The third Shabbos, I blasted them. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. And I don't know, it's getting worse and worse. What do I do? So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, I don't understand. When you put on your tefillin in the morning, you make the bracha, la'niach tefillin, how do you do it? Do you say the bracha or you scream the bracha? He says, you say the bracha. Guess what? Putting on tefillin is a mitzvah, and being mochiach, giving tochach, is a mitzvah. You don't scream at this one. Why are you screaming at that one for? Who says you have to scream at a mitzvah? So it's not going to help. Imagine how crazy you would look. You walk into shul in the morning, and a guy on top of his lungs is screaming, Baruch Atah Hashem, and he's screaming at his arm and his tefillin. Make any sense?
There's
embarrassment. Next paragraph. Lachain tzarech adam lizor miod. Therefore, a person has to be very careful. Shelo yaseh davar shehashem yimenu taki elashum adam bo. That the result of your actions will be embarrassing to anyone. Even while studying Torah, learning Torah, when you're learning of a chavrusa, and you hear that your chavrusa, the one you're learning with, made a mistake. Lo yomai lo, don't say tim toisa, you made a mistake. Oh, or don't say you don't know what you're talking about. You can't say that to the one you're learning with. Oh, koyotzebo, similar things. Shlo, he's biased, not to embarrass him. Ela omelo. But this is the way to handle it. Quote, kach kibalti mirabosai. This is the way I understand from my rabbeim is the pshat in the Gemara. Oh, yas atzmo kilo lo hevim shata. Or ignore the fact that he made a mistake altogether. Just ignore it, so you won't embarrass him. V'chein lo yechane. Here's a different issue, gentlemen. Listen to this one. V'chein lo yechane shem lechavero. Don't refer to other people with nicknames. Shelo yizbayish, in order not to embarrass them. Ella im yachbos l'dabe biyish hasheyesh l'kinoi. If you have to speak to someone who does have a nickname, gam shelo b'funav. Even if it's not in his presence, yoma, he should say, Ploni umkom ploni, so and so who lives in this such and such place. Oh, or Benosha ploni, the son of so and so. Oh, yoma bo simonim, or use some other symbolism that the person will know who you're referring to. Ache nikazulas kinui, so that the guy will know what you're talking about, but don't use a kinoy. I just want to read to you, gentlemen, a halacha in the Torah Shulchan Aruch, if you don't mind. This is a halacha in Hilchas Choshe Mishpat, Reish Chav Ches. Reish Chav Ches, in Choshe Mishpat, it says as follows, this halacha dalet. Be very careful not to use a nickname, kidei levaisho, in order to embarrass the person, so that in an embarrassing way. Afilu shu rogil ba'osa kinui, even if he's used to being called by that nickname.
So then he won't be.
Ki wait, since your intent was to embarrass him. In other words, he's a very tall guy. And he's used to being called Shorty, but you, by calling him Shorty, your intention was to embarrass the guy. So listen to the words of the Beis Yosef. This is the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, who says on this piece, Ma sha'oma v'yizor adam milchano shem ra l'chaveiro. Amar Rav Chanina. He's quoting Rav Chanina Tana. Gentlemen, listen to this. Kol hayardim legehenim. Any person who goes down to Gehenim, which I guess most people, you have to say, do. Olim. Everyone comes up. You go down, but you come up. It's a two-way, you know what I mean? Instead of yale v'yavo, yavo v'yale, right? Chutz, with the exception of Megimel. Except for three people, when they go down, they stay down. They go down there and they stay, don't come up. And these are the three people. Number one, Hapa Alashis Ish, someone who has relations with a married woman. Second person, Amabim Pnei Chaveiro Barabim, embarrassing someone else publicly. And number three person, Vamachana Shem Ra Lechaveiro. If you call a person by a nickname, Mechana Hey Hainu Malbim, this means embarrassing him. Afagafta Doshbe Bishmei. Even though Doshbe Bishmei, what does that mean? Pirish Rashi, Rashi says, the Doshbe, Kvar Hurgol Bekach, he is used to being called that, Shemechan Oso Kain, Vein Pon of Mislavos, and his face does not turn red or white, still Mikomakom, nevertheless, Zelahachlim. The person who said it had intention to embarrass him, and since your intent was to embarrass him, even if he's not embarrassed, you know what I mean, you still, God forbid, one of those people. And never say, either publicly or even one-on-one, Ploni Ratzaliten Li Bito, so-and-so wanted me to marry his daughter, Vanila Rotsisiosa, but I was absolutely not interested in her. Because basically, you're saying you're Mr. Don Juan and she was Dracula. You know what I mean? That's the message you're giving. That's the message. Okay? A person has to be careful that nothing that I say should cause someone else embarrassment. Always be amongst those who was embarrassed rather than to be one of those who does the embarrassing. And be one of those who is ready to listen and absorb the cherpa, the shame, and not to respond. And about this kind of person, and it says, V'ohavav, and those who love him, Ketzeis Hashem Esh Begvarosu, will be like the sun goes out in its strength, Mida Keneged Mida. This is measure for measure. Yana Sheshoma Cherposo V'nefchu Ponov Le'irokon. He allowed himself, and he held on to the embarrassment, and his face turned colors. Yav, he came, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosem Yor Hashem Esh. Hashem will brighten him more than the light of the sun. And by the way, this, you know, goes back to the Maisa when during creation that we read in Chumash Bereishis, when the moon and the sun were being created equal, and the moon said, "Efsha shnei melachim bekeser echad, how can you have two kings with one crown?" So what happened? The moon was putting the sun down and wanted to put the crown only on his head. So what was the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because you wanted to do that,
then you're going to suffer, and the son that didn't speak back, whatever that means, again, the Malach that represents the son perhaps, but since the son did not respond, the son became bigger and brighter, and was the real king in the heavens, so to speak, of the constellations, that is, of the planets. And the moon became only a night and a reflection of the sun, not of its own light. And Hashem felt a little bad for the sun, not a little bad, felt bad for the moon, so Hashem gave it kochavim, stars, together with the moon. He shouldn't feel lonely at night up there, so that's where the stars come from. But that's the point here of this Chazal. Ki'in Shenema, like it says, Ukvod Hashem Olayich Zarach, and the honor of Hashem shone upon you. And by the way, the Mesudas David says that the Shekhinah will, this means that the Shekhinah will rest upon a person. That's going to be the result. Final paragraph. This trait of busha, of shame, will allow a person to attain humility. He will humble himself because of his sense of shame. And that will lead to modesty. Because a person who has the sense of shame will be embarrassed to do his private affairs in public. Amr Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Siman Habonim Aksherim, a sign of kosher people, so to speak. Haboshes Hanir Apaneim. When you see the shame on their faces. Kimi Shehu Baishan, the person who has the sense of shame, who Simishumi Zera Avram Yisak V'Yakov, this is a sign, because it's one of the traits of our heritage. Baishanim, Gomle Chasodim and Rachamonim, and since one of them is Baishonim, we have a sense of shame. So the Gemara says this is a siman of our Jewish heritage. Omer Chachamim, the Chachamim said, Abusha Nadas Beis Hakas. When a person is in a fit of anger, or the potential to become angry, that's when you see the sense of shame. V'yomru, Tov Sinas HaBaisha Mehavas Haksil. He said, it is better the hatred of a shameful person than the love of a fool. Because if a person hates, but he is a baishan, he is ashamed, he's not going to do anything about the fact that he hates the other guy because he's ashamed to do anything. But on the other hand, you can have someone who's in love with someone else, but if he's a fool, then he's going to say silly things and embarrass himself. Tzarech Adam Lizbayesh Mikol Adam V'lasum Upon of Masva Habusha. Try to have a sense of shame before anyone, even children, by the way, putting a mask on our faces. Kamo sha'ata yodata mi yinshol behechavo, when the mice of Shol that he was hiding, kamo sha'amat nema, like it says in the Pasuk, hinehu nechpa al ha-kelim, he was hidden amongst the kelim. The Medrash Agoda says, by the way, the kelim there means the Urim v'tumim. And Rashi explains that before he accepted upon himself to be anointed as the king, he checked with the Urim v'tumim if he was worthy. That was his humility. And then Hashem chose him for the king. Like it says, do you see the one who Hashem chose? This mida, this trait of shame, is of the merits of the precious ones. It corresponds to the perfection of the body. By the way, this means, like normal blood pressure, a strong heartbeat and low cholesterol are good signs for a healthy body, so too the midah of busha is a siman to a healthy neshama. Umishem is bayesh, a person who does feel this sense of shame, tigdal will rise mimaloso in his stature, viata, and you, says the Orach HaTzadikim, tafchin, delve into it, visis bonein, and we'll be able to understand it more deeply. So gentlemen, Baruch Hashem, we finished the Shara Busha, and Amir Hashem will continue next week. Have a wonderful week. Yeah, sure.